Your car breaks down over time, and so do we. Your joints ache. It's hard getting old. We know this. TheTrustedLab.com helps me. I lead a more active lifestyle than I ever have, and I feel better than ever. Delivered to my doorstep, completely legal, lab-tested CBD, TheTrustedLab.com, based right here in Texas. TheTrustedLab.com.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Got rice cooking in the microwave. Got a 3-day beard. I don't plan to shave. And it's a goofy thing, but I just gotta say, I'm doing all right. I'll make me some homemade soup. I'm feeling pretty good, and that's the truth. It's neither drink nor drug induced. No, I'm just doing all right. It's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. It's a
well, happy Monday to you. What's the rain today, Ramon?
Yeah, it's supposed to have thunder showers. I don't know what time I'll find it. But the weather's cooled off. That's nice. It's a good weekend. Hope you had a good weekend. It's July Augustus Robles' 6th birthday. And Ollie is what? Oliver's 3? So July Augustus Robles turns 6 today, and Oliver McRae Robles is 3, and he'll turn 4 when? January 8th. Oh, the King's birthday. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I watched a documentary on Kiss yesterday. My God, they are drama queens. Jeez. Peter Criss keeps leaving the band and coming back and leaving the band and coming back. Ace Frehley leaves the band and comes back. Their feelings are hurt. Paul Stanley is so dramatic. And Gene Simmons. Do you know they're Jewish? The two of them? Gene Simmons was Chaim Witz from Israel. Yeah. And so Paul Stanley was Stanley Eisen. You know, he was born without a right ear. He didn't have a right ear. Yeah. Nobody knew. He had no right ear. He had just a crumpled mass there. And somewhere in the mid 80s, there was a doctor in upstate New York. And he went and he got an ear built. And so he had an ear. He still kept his hair long. He always wanted to cut his hair, but he was so embarrassed over his ear. So he's deaf in one ear. Yeah. And he hid that. His band didn't even know. Nobody knew. Yeah. It's on A&E. You can find it on Amazon. It's a two-part. There's a lot of, it seems like something that women would watch drinking rosé in the middle of the afternoon. There's a lot. Those guys are very dramatic. I guess nobody should be surprised about that. Funeral procession this morning, in case you see the procession, pull over, turn your lights on. For senior HPD officer Bill Jeffrey, his casket's being taken from Tomball to Grace Church in southeast Houston. That will occur at 10 o'clock. He was just 54 years old, 31 years on the department when he was killed in the line of duty last Monday by a thug punk. His working partner, HPD Sergeant Michael Vance, was also shot, but apparently he's recovering. Jeffrey was just a few days shy of 31 years in law enforcement, leaves behind a wife, also an HPD officer who just retired, and a daughter. After arriving at the church, HPD's Major Offenders Division, which is the division officer Jeffrey worked for, along with the honor guards, will escort Officer Jeffrey's casket inside and stand guard until the funeral service begins at 10 a.m. Following the funeral service, full police honors will be rendered outside the church. And again, that is at Grace Church in southeast Texas. So, Mike, I don't know the route. I'll see if I can find the route, but so that you will be prepared to pay your respects. I know that it's always a very moving scene when folks pull over to the side and salute, show their respect. He was killed by a thug that Judge Greg Glass of the 208th Criminal District Court had allowed out because Democrats are determined that murderers be released onto our streets. The father of a teenager murdered in a road rage shooting after an Astros game by another of these thugs, Gerald Wayne Williams, who was 34, killed this man's 17-year-old son, David Castro, after an Astros game. Freed on bond. Here's what the father of the young man has to say. News report, ABC 13.
7 weeks after turning himself into police, Gerald Williams is now out of jail after posting bond.
He's dead, and that guy is free without an ankle bracelet, wandering our streets, posing a danger to our community.
Williams is accused of killing 17-year-old David Castro in a road rage shooting back in July.
Was a light in
his father, Paul Castro, was driving his two sons back from an Astros game when he says he exchanged hand gestures with another driver. Police say the driver followed the family and shot at their pickup truck, killing Castro. Court records show Judge Mark Brown set Williams' bond at $350,000. Each day, Castro says he's been living in fear that his son's accused killer may walk free as he awaits trial. Well, that became a reality when he got a phone call on Friday night.
I pulled over. I didn't trust myself to be driving in the moment, and my stomach fell through all the way down, and my heart clenched, and all I could think of is he's loose. He's on the street in our community.
Under his bail conditions, Williams has 2 days to get an ankle monitor and must be under house arrest.
I have no idea whether he is a direct and imminent threat again, whether he's going to want to do something again for me speaking out.
It's not Williams' first run-in with the law. In February of 2020, he was released after serving 12 years in prison for 2 counts of aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon. Prosecutors filed a motion to deny bond based on his past, but ultimately it was up to Judge Brown.
Is a person who has 2 armed robberies and who's been accused of killing my son, and I know he's the person who killed my son. That person is out on the streets because our system isn't set up to protect us from him.
Castro says the community has embraced his family more than they could ever have imagined. Now he's hoping for support in changing what he calls a broken system.
Starts with the county. Okay. We need to be talking to Judge Hidalgo. We need to be talking to our representatives. We need to be talking to everyone who represents the precinct.
Williams' next court appearance is scheduled for November 16th.
These judges should be required to give their home address to every person they free on a bond. They should be required to tell these people where they live. Because when these people start visiting their families and killing their family members, then they'll give a damn. But as long as it's everybody but them, oh, well, this is good for the this is good for the radical left-wing elements that now run Harris County. And we're either going to stop it or it's going to get worse. Coming up, I'll play you a report by Fox 26's Randy Wallace. He's got a series called Breaking Bond, and he goes through and looks at the judges that are giving out these bonds, and he tells you which judges: Lori Chambers, Danny Lacayo, Chris Morton, Lori Chambers Gray, Judge Deshaun Jones. And he goes through and tells you, Greg Glass, he goes through and shows you, using Andy Kahn's research at Crime Stoppers, he goes through and shows you that these guys are repeatedly being freed out on the streets. These are murderers. These are absolute murderers. This is the equivalent of opening our prisons and saying, go do whatever you want. These are not productive people. These are murderers. And the Democrats are determined to put them back out on the streets to murder.
It's our talk radio. It's
the Michael Berry Show.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
looking son of a gun. Now who keeps a pike hid out behind chute number one? Who was riding high till a pretty girl rode him to the ground? Any kid knows where to find me. I'm Bandy the Rodeo Clown.
I love Mo Bandy. He's fantastic. One of the thrills of the RCC was getting to know and become friends with guys that I had loved their music and their careers for so long, and he's one of them. And on Friday, I think it was, he followed me on Twitter. And Mo's not a young man. I kind of got a kick out of him pecking, imagining him pecking on the Twitter and go, oh, if Michael's on this thing, I'm going to follow him, see what he's doing, what he's talking about. Mo is... However conservative you think you are, let me just assure you that Mo is more conservative than you are. All of the older guys are. The younger guys are still liberal, squish, sports radio listener, liberal, kind of middle of the road. You know, Obama was a good guy. I don't see what the problem was. And, you know, let's just all get along kind of guys. But the older crowd, oh, they are hardcore. Oak Ridge Boys? Oof. Mo Bandy, T.G. Shepherd, all of them. Steve Cropper, I mean, they are all hardcore conservatives. Anyway, so that was my Mo Bandy moment on Friday. And then my trainer, I tell him every time he signs up a new person, tell me the details, because I take personal pride in the fact that if it's somebody that came from our show, I take pride in the fact that somebody's about to start getting very healthy, and they took my advice to do so, and that gives me a good feeling. So he said, you're going to love this story. Just signed up a 66-year-old man. He's a retired bullfighter and rodeo clown. His body's beat to hell, and he wants to feel better. Lives in Dickinson. Well, it's... I knew his name. Kirby... Oh, shoot. I've forgotten his name now. Kirby... I can't remember. But I looked him up. I mean, he's... He was a rodeo clown for a very long time. Those guys get beat to hell. You know, hockey players, well, rugby players are some of the toughest guys you'll ever meet, because they suffer a lot of licks. But hockey players are in that category too. But rodeo folks, oh my goodness, it's unparalleled. It is. So Clint Cannon, who was PRCA national champion at least one time and was on the tour for way longer than anybody else, into his 40s. That guy can tell you stories of every bone in his body that he's broken, how many times he's broken it, how many surgeries he's had. My favorite story, although it still makes me cringe to this day, Ramon, do you know which one it was? His testicles busting open? You don't remember? Have I never told you this? Holy smokes. Well, so we're flying up to Portland. And somebody had lent me a little four-seater to get up. We were starting a Camp Hope in Portland. And so they had an event planned, and all the donors said, you know, you got to come up for this thing, and I don't like to travel. And so I said, well, I'll come up if I can bring my family with me. So they said, all right, well, here, you can use this plane. And so there we went. And it was Gene Birdwell. I was trying to remember who it was. Gene Birdwell gave me his plane, and it was nice. It was, and so since there were the three of us, Clint Cannon had said, hey, I heard you saying you're going to be in Portland. The Portland Rodeo is a big, Snake River Rodeo is a big, big deal. I mean, Pendleton. It's the Pendleton Rodeo. It's a nationally famous rodeo. It's a rodeoer's rodeo. So I said, hey, I got a spot on this plane if you want to ride with us. So he did. Well, he had my kids spellbound with stories. So there's two types of rodeo. There's the PRCA, which is the tough guys. I mean, that's the hardcore. That's the rugby of rodeo. And then there's the other one it's not easy, but it's a little, you know, they fly around on private jets. These guys, they even though they're competitors, they'll rent a van, or one of them will have a van, and there'll be eight of them in this van, and they drive the country from rodeo to rodeo. And he said, nobody knows the back roads like rodeo guys because we can't afford to stay in hotels. So we bring our sleeping bag and we know a spot, you know, right there off I-10 at this cutoff. And we pull off and we go over next to a river and we camp there. And then we get up the next morning and off to the next place. Well, it's a grueling life. And in order to make it, you know, he's got a wife and kids back at home here in Waller. In order to, you know who I met him through was Melanie Luttrell. But in order to make it, they've got to be on the rodeo circuit. They've got to be winning. Because you don't get an appearance fee. You've got to win. So it's all or nothing, winner takes all kind of deal, knockout and poker sort of. And there's first, second, third, I think. Well, he's had a slow month, and he needs this win. And it's just been one after the other after the other. He's just had broken ribs. He's not fully recovered from. He's in terrible pain. And he's at this rodeo, and the horse bucks him. And when it bucks him, somehow he came down, and it split his testicles. Right, dadgum in the middle, huh? The outer core. You ever had a lychee? A lychee's like a Chinese fruit. They're real good inside, but on the outside they have kind of a covering, right? You know how when it gets cold, it'll shrivel up. So I don't know if it was shriveled up or not, but this is a purely anatomical conversation for any of you who are going to send emails going, I can't believe you're talking about that man's nutsack. No, I'm having a very professional conversation about Clint Cannon's testicles. I want to be clear about this. So somehow when he popped on it a couple of times, that was the weak spot, and that skin split right open. So he's going into the finals the next day leading, and it's something like a $5,000 purse. It's a big purse. Well, they don't have doctors at the rodeo. They have veterinarians. Because the horses are worth more than the cowboys, right? So he says, you go over to the veterinarian. He said, veterinarians are better doctors than medical doctors because you think about this. When you go in, you tell the doctor what's wrong with you. I have the sniffles and I have this and I think I have the flu. And yep, you got flu. Here's a script. That'll be $100 or whatever they charge you. But animals can't do that. They have to figure it out based on how the animal reacts. And so he has utmost respect for this. So he goes over to the doc and the doc looks at it. And he said, well, if we do regular stitches, it'll bust while you're up there again. You don't want these things to fall out, right? You kind of like to hold on to them. And so he said, what you're going to need to do is get you some fishing line. And I said, well, he wouldn't do it? And he said, no, because it's not an approved medical procedure on a human, and he's a veterinarian. So he told you, yeah, he watched me do it. He took fishing line. Do you hear me? He took fishing line, which he was then going to have to remove afterwards, right? I mean, you think about this. You sit down too hard on, you ride a side-by-side, and you come out of there with, you know, blues. You know, you think back to high school and the pain. He's stitching. You talk about tough. He's stitching a fishing line. I don't know what pound, what test, but it's enough to hold them together for another ride. Now, that's bad enough. Then you get on the horse. You get on the horse. Yeah, I know. And you know that horse is going to buck. And he won, and it was $5,000, and he got back in the van and continued the tour. He said, at this point, I was used to it. When you meet somebody that was a PRCA professional cowboy, just know that do not get in a fight with that guy. There is nothing you can do to hurt that guy. You ever see these fights, barroom fights, where a guy's steady taking shots and he doesn't care? It's like MMA's that same way. He doesn't care, and you look at it, you go, fella, you picked the wrong guy. Eventually, you're gonna run out of gas just beating on him, and you're finished.
The Michael Berry Show. This is the Michael Berry Show.
guest till now. Chad Nakanishi, our executive producer, has a cousin from Hawaii who lives in San Antonio, who is a professional bull rider. Bullfighter. Ty Correia. C-O-R-R-E-I-R-A. Professional bullfighter from Hawaii, living my dream here in Texas. How about that? See, you learn something new about Chad every single day. I'm trying to track down Paul Castro. If you know him, he's the father of the 17-year-old who died in the shooting by the thug that was released by the Democrat judge here. This is what rebuilding our criminal justice ecosystem looks like. The man has been freed on bond. Castro's father posted to Facebook, "Gerald Wayne Williams, the individual who killed my son David, bonded out today. Gerald Wayne Williams, the person who chased my truck at 80 miles an hour for 4 miles. The man who shot 2 bullets at head level into my truck. The man who put a bullet into the back of David's head. The man who continued chasing me and my living son while I tried to escape and get David to the hospital." So imagine that. Your son has been fatally wounded, and the guy is still chasing you. Dear God, how do you not, knowing he's on bond, track him down and blow his brains out? I mean, how do you not? What father doesn't want to do that? The man who then went into hiding, tried to sell his vehicle's rims, burned the vehicle that he used to do all this, and when turning himself in, equated himself to George Floyd and Jesus Christ. Well, I think equating himself to George Floyd is quite accurate, actually. They're both thugs. They're both career criminals. They're both violent. That man is free tonight on a $350,000 bond. It wasn't even the maximum $500,000. He is free because our society values criminal rights over those who are victimized. He will be free on the streets with your family, with your children, for the next 3 to 4 years while the court system rebounds from COVID and a crime spree. He will be free while my son's remains sit in a box at a funeral home waiting to be interred. David's senior year is over, as is my life, as I knew it. Gerald Wayne Williams is free. David is dead. How about that? So for $35,000, this man is back out walking the streets again to terrorize other people. The kind of guy that gets angry on the highway, pulls up next to people, and starts blasting into their vehicle. There's two types of people in the world. There's that guy, and then there are civilized human beings. That guy belongs in a cage, being butt-banged by other dudes just like him but have been there longer. That guy deserves to be making hooch out of Clorox and cleaning floors and arguing over who's going to watch what on the TV tonight in his little orange jumpsuit. That's what that guy deserves. But that's not what that guy's going to get. That's not what that guy's going to get. Where is Sylvester Turner? Where is Lena Hidalgo? Where are the other criminal court judges? Where is the adult in the room calling for an end to this? They've got an opinion on everything else. Surprised they don't have an opinion on this. And there we are. And there we are. David, you're on the Michael Berry Show.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to call and thank your listeners. Man, I had several of them come up to Firehouse Subs and give me tips. You know, got $8 tip here, $6 tip there.
Oh, wow.
About 5 or 6 people. Oh, yeah. And one guy, I didn't catch his name. He threw down a Papa's gift certificate, and it's worth $200.
Oh, my goodness. What did he look like?
Yeah.
Was he a white man?
Older gentleman. Kind of looked like your dentist from Made You Smile.
Oh, but Dr.
Kessler. But looked kind of like him. Oh, yeah.
Did he have a beard?
I'm going to take my... yes, sir. Sure did.
A lot of white guys have beards.
I do myself.
How tall would you say he was?
About maybe 6 foot.
And how much would you guess he weighed?
180 maybe.
Oh, good shit.
Just kind of average.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Did he order a Firehouse sub also, or just bring you a gift card?
No, he ordered something too. He got some food and threw it down. He said, "I hope you like steak." I said, "Yes, sir. I sure do."
Now, do you think he went and bought that and brought it to you, or do you think he already had that and decided he'd give it to you?
It looked brand new to me. It was in a fancy envelope.
And, did it say David on it?
Man, no, it didn't. It didn't even say how much it was worth. So I waited until I got home, and I called it up, scratched the little thing off, called it up, and it said $200.
How much did you think were probably going to be on there?
Oh, 50, 100 bucks, maybe. The way it was... You know, he was dressed real nice, and the way he kind of slyly threw it down there, hope you like steak, figured at least 50 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't do 20 bucks to Papa Steakhouse. That just wouldn't work.
No.
I mean, that wouldn't get you much.
But, man,
so what are you going to use it? You're going to take your mom?
No. My mom died in 99.
Oh, I thought
I'm going to take... Okay. No, remember, I'm living with my grandmother.
Your grandmother. You're going to take your grandmother or your girl?
Yes. My girl, probably. And whatever's left, you know... I'll bring them something. But, you know, my grandma, she doesn't really like to go out. She's kind of chair-ridden, not bedridden, but she comes from the bed and sits in a chair and watches TV all day. So she didn't really like to go out. Hmm. But I'm going to take my girl out. And God bless that faceless man and everybody else that come up there.
Well, that's nice. Thank you for telling me that. That's a good story. David's the one, for those of you who don't remember, who did 9 years for stabbing the guy. Stabby McStabby. He got in a drunk fight. I mean, it was a barbecue poker. That was the first thing he did his hands on.
Girls, take warning. If you go near the lake, keep your eyes wide open and look for a sneaky snake. Now, maybe you won't see him, and maybe you won't hear, but he'll sneak up behind you. Drink all of your root beer, and then the sneaky snake goes dancing, wiggling and a hissing. Sneaky snake goes dancing, giggling.
It's not a real sophisticated arrangement, but the drums work. Sneaky snake, he laughs too much, you see. Nobody's going to confuse him with John Bonham. It tickles his underneath. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. You give me the first answer that comes to your mind. Jim Stafford's I Don't Like Spiders and Snakes or Tom T. Hall's Sneaky Snake? Pick one. Sneaky Snake? Well, a week after the Comandante had to pull from the agenda an $11 million kickback scheme where she had chosen a Democrat operative, one-woman operation out of an apartment in Montrose, and declared that the University of Houston Health Science Center wouldn't be able to handle the project. She'd rather this one-woman Democrat operative have the project. And at the time, she said, when they said, we want an investigation, she said, bring it. She was getting all sassy. Bring it. Well, she's not saying bring it anymore. She withdrew it. Now, after the Houston Housing Director, Tom McCaslin, says that Mayor Turner fixed the bidding process on a $15 million contract to give it to his former law partner. ABC 13 reports that Sylvester Turner says, No, I did not. Yeah, it kind of looks like you did. No, I did not. Yeah, it kind of looks like you did. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have an investigation done. Okay, good. By a guy who's my appointee and works directly for me. Oh, well, that's going to inspire a lot of respect. Yeah, you weren't just going to let it be said that you're self-dealing to your former law partner again. No. We can't do that. I mean, who cares that the deal that the company was put together right before you gave them the contract? and that this was your longtime partner and title company owner together and all these, who cares? I mean, I'm sure it was a complete coincidence. These kind of coincidences happen all the time. I mean, it just so happened, it's not his fault, that his longtime business partner of decades and decades and decades just happened to get into the housing business from being a lawyer while his buddy is the mayor. He just happens to get in the housing business. And if you're going to do it, go big or go home. He just, who would have guessed, happens to win the contract. Who could have seen that coming? Wow. And at the time that he does, the person who oversees the department that is to let the contract comes out and says, hey, I can't be part of this. This is corruption. The mayor rigged this contract to give it to his buddy. And the mayor's response is to fire him. Oh, well, that's funny. Go ahead and mark this down. First of all, the mayor's investigation is a sham because he's got his own city attorney doing it. Bring in an outsider. But he can't bring in an outsider because then they'll get to the truth. So what we're going to do is very quickly, the city attorney is going to say, I have reviewed this, and, woof, man, it looks, I think the mayor's former law partner who just started this company a matter of days before he got the contract, I think he's the best in the world. And, I mean, we're lucky to have him. Not only was this not rigged, we're not going to give him $15 million. We're going to give him $20 million because, by golly, these guys are good. I'm glad I investigated to find out how good these guys really are. My goodness, you can rest assured that our affordable housing dollars are being wisely spent. We're going to bring the best and the brightest in and give them the nicest housing, and it's all going to be good. And this old guy over, this old sour grapes guy. So now you've got the housing director who blows the whistle. Imagine how bad the corruption has to be for you to blow the whistle on your boss. He can fire you tomorrow, and did. You're blowing the whistle on his corruption, knowing what a petty, petty, vengeful man he is, because everybody that knows him knows this. You're blowing the whistle on him, knowing this is happening, knowing you're going to lose your job. Wow. How bad did it have to be for him to blow the whistle like this? What if he doesn't blow the whistle, we don't know this happened. The whistle, he's blowing the whistle. This is the housing director, Tom McKesson. So then the mayor inspires a great deal of confidence when this man immediately becomes a whistleblower. Sylvester Turner fires him. Now, here's the problem. You, the taxpayer, this guy's going to bring a lawsuit. And it's going to show that he was exposing corruption. And it's going to show that the mayor fired him immediately. He will have had nothing in his file to say that he had any problems. There will be no evidence that the mayor was in any way unhappy with him. It's going to look like self-dealing. And it's going to be clear that in good faith, he is a whistleblower, and he's going to get whistleblower protections, which means he will have been unlawfully fired. His reputation will have been damaged. There will be a value to that. Will Sylvester Turner pay for it? Not one penny. Oh, not any more than you or me as taxpayers. But you, the taxpayer, will end up paying this guy millions of dollars. Because he will win this suit. He will bring this suit, and he will win this suit. This is a textbook whistleblower case. This is what the statute is designed to protect. But everybody wins. McCaslin wins because he's going to get a big payoff, and should. The taxpayer doesn't win, but that's okay. You never win. This is the city of Houston. We've become Detroit. The mayor wins. Because now McCaslin is out of the job They probably frog marched him out of there immediately so that he couldn't go to his computer and pull all these files. By the time his attorney requests all the files that prove that this is a corrupt, fraudulent, illegal scheme that was occurring, it'll all be wiped clean. They'll give him an email that says nothing. Oh, but by the way, the city attorney, who also works directly for the mayor, but is not willing to raise his hand and say corruption, he's going to bless this. And we're going to get an answer very quickly. Just out of curiosity, what do you think that answer is going to be? I have reviewed it, and it looks pretty kosher to me. I mean, nothing wrong here. Yeah.
I have a buddy named Ray Breyers, and he owns a company called ThePipeYardInc.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.